Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. As the saying goes, new year, new you, right? Well, for many, January is a time to get started on some new goals, which can include living a healthier lifestyle. You may have heard the term dry January before. Maybe you're doing it yourself. It is a month-long commitment to start the new year off without alcohol. For some, it's easier said than done, especially those who like to have a few adult beverages during a busy month of sports like the NFL playoffs, Kings basketball, etc. Others use the month of January to reset, reboot their bodies after what might have been an especially boozy and festive holiday season. So whether it's for health reasons or just trying to save a little bit of money, giving up alcohol doesn't necessarily mean you have to give up your social life. Benji Eagle is the food and drink reporter for the Sacramento Bee and joins us with some fun options for people who still want to have fun without the buzz. Hey, Benji.
Hey, Vicky. Great to be here.
So I am doing Dry January. It is my first time. It's going well. And I do feel like in the last year or two, at least among my friends anecdotally, you know, people have been kind of rethinking their relationship with alcohol. I mean, have you been noticing that, you know, in your reporting, checking out restaurants and bars in the area?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is something that really came out of the pandemic when people were locked down for so long. They just started rethinking their relationship with alcohol, as you said. And there's some people who are fully sober, but there's a lot of other people who are sober curious, who are more open to dry January now, or who want to take a night off and have a fun non-alcoholic drink. And I think the options have really improved as well, which makes it easier to do so.
Yeah, I've noticed at restaurants and bars, they're incorporating or embracing more non-alcoholic options, you know, whether it's a non-alcoholic beer or even something that's, you know, a little more fancy, like a mocktail.
Totally. Yeah, there's a lot of restaurants and bars here in Sacramento that have switched over and have been providing non-alcoholic cocktails, mocktails, in addition to regular cocktails. You'll see it really popular places like Iron Horse Tavern, Moss Taco Bar, all of the Irish hospitality bars and restaurants, which is the Butterscotch Den, Rochambeau, the Snug. They all have great options. Shangri-La and Fair Oaks has some really fun stuff as well. And so it's great to see that, you know, for folks who are sober for the night.
Yeah. I know that you are the food and drink reporter for the Sacramento Bee. Have you ever done like a dry January or something like that before?
I have. I did it a couple of years ago. And I think it was in 2019. So it was we were starting to see some better non-alcoholic options, but it was still pretty tough to find drinks that really felt like drinks. I didn't want to be having a soda every night when I went out to the bars because that wasn't that healthy either. And, you know, it wasn't that fun. But now there's a lot of non-alcoholic distilled spirits on the market. I think that non-alcoholic beer is better than it used to be, non-alcoholic wine as well. And you know, I'm not doing it this year, but I think I would have an easier time if I were doing it in 2024 than 2019.
You gave us some options and those were all great ones. But if someone is listening to this and they're like, oh, yes, like I can actually like go out and, you know, and kind of, you know, be with friends who maybe are having a drink and then I can have a pretty cool mocktail. Where do you recommend people go?
Ooh, the Butterscotch Den is kind of the hottest
bar
in Oak Park. Yeah. And that's kind of like traditionally a martini, steaks, $4 caviar bump kind of bar. But they have some really interesting non-alcoholic drinks as well. They have one called the Phony Negroni that, you know, you look at it in a glass and it looks like you're drinking alcohol, but you're having a nice kind of cocktail without the bite of alcohol, I guess. Bottle and Barlow always has 5 or 6 non-alcoholic beverage options as well on their menu. Yeah, if you're looking for a fancier kind of date night thing, I really love Localis's mocktail pairings.
They have pairings.
They do, yeah. In addition to their wine pairings, they do a mocktail pairing, which I normally get when I go there. I think the last time I was there, the wines were they looked excellent, but the mocktail pairings were things like a shot of, you know, citrus, lemon pesto whey, or kind of like a duck soup to go with, you know, your duck course, or, you know, you'd have some sparkling soda of some sort that they crafted in-house. So I thought that was really interesting as well.
Yeah, sometimes people may be kind of surprised initially, you know, by how much a mocktail can cost. It can rival the cost of an actual cocktail. But then when I actually see how it's prepared, I mean, there's a lot of creativity that goes into it. So can you just explain what makes, like, say, like a $14 mocktail $14?
Totally. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of the reason that drinks do cost so much just in the world is just because distilling is a really arduous process and you have to have a lot of equipment set up and safety parameters and things like that. So when you look at a bottle of non-alcoholic distilled spirits, they're still roughly around the price of a bottle of whiskey or a bottle of rum. And so that's how you get an $11, $14 mocktail, you know, just as you would see an $11, $14 cocktail in some of the same bars.
Hmm. One of the pop-ups last year that I saw, literally, you know, pop up, it is back. It is called The Teetotalist. And I saw it on Instagram. They're going to be at Propagate, which is in like Midtown Sacramento. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So Propagate is a plant shop and The Teetotalist is a completely sober, non-alcoholic bar. Started by two women who are sober. And, you know, they're going to be here in the month of January at, I think, 16th and, or 19th and G, I believe, give or take. And it's a place for people who are sober, who are doing Dry January, who just want to have a sober drink to go and hang out. Notre Ferme is going to be doing food there as well, Little Bites. And that's owned by Allison Harvey, who is a former chef at The Kitchen and is also 6 years sober herself. And I think that, you know, it's a really great way for people to try and have some of these mocktails, have some of these non-alcoholic beers before The Teetotalist launches their brick-and-mortar location, which they're hoping to do later
in the
year.
Oh, so they are growing.
They are. They don't have a location announced yet, but they do plan to open a brick-and-mortar later this year. That would be Sacramento's first 100% sober bar. Those have been popular in, like, Los Angeles as well, but it would be the first one here in Sacramento. And I can say, too, that, you know, my partner is not doing Dry January, but she's going there tomorrow night because it seems interesting. It's different.
And they have events, too.
They have events going on as well, yeah. So they're really trying to make it a space for people to enjoy whether they are sober or just sober for the evening.
Yeah, you can play games there. I think like Sunday's like Taylor Swift night or something like that. You know, they have a whole calendar of events. Given that, obviously, this is growing because if the Teetotalist is going to be having actually like a brick and mortar, you know, later this year, do you think that this is just a fad or do you think that, you know, this is really setting the foundation for, you know, another growing, I guess, arm of the food and beverage scene?
I think it is a growing arm. I think of it sort of similar to veganism, I guess, where, you know, you have some people that are fully sober. You have some people that are fully vegan. For vegan restaurants to survive, they have to appeal to omnivores as well or vegetarians or what have you. And I think that, you know, to be a successful sober bar, you have to be interesting enough or have enough events or do something different enough that people who do drink are going to want to come in for an experience, for an evening. I do think that we'll see more and more of these kind of places emerge as people think more critically about their choices with alcohol. I think a lot of millennials who have sort of driven the craft cocktail movement as well are also getting to a point where they're getting older, they're maybe watching their health, or they're becoming pregnant, or whatever it is, they're more interested in good non-alcoholic options as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think for myself, I'm in that category. I'm a millennial. You know, it always just seems like drinks are always around. And so it became more of just like, sure, I'll have a glass of wine. So why not do Dry January to actually, you know, kind of think about it, be more intentional about, you know, when you want to drink, you know. So I guess I don't think I'm alone in that. Do you think the culture of drinking is changing as well, or people are reevaluating, you know, their relationship with it?
I think so. Yeah, I think that there is a little less pressure now to drink at some of these events. You know, whether it's going out with friends for a night out or a company event. I can't speak to being 18 in college anymore, but, you know, I think that there is a little bit of a cultural shift that people are wising up a little bit. There are a lot of celebrities who are publicly sober as well. And so it's becoming, I think, I don't know, more cool, socially acceptable, whatever word you want to throw with it, for people to switch off booze, either for good or for a stint. Yeah.
There's also the business aspect to it. Do you think, I guess, down the road, or have you even heard anecdotally that, you know, maybe some bars have seen a dip in sales, or maybe is that kind of to be expected in January when everyone spent a lot of money and had a lot of fun the month before?
I think January is typically a rough month for restaurants and bars as a whole. A lot of people are making healthy New Year's resolutions that they're sticking to for 1 month, say. And so, you know, yeah, you have people going out less, saving their money more. I will say that, you know, for a lot of the bar owners I've spoke to that have robust mocktail programs, that's something for people to enjoy. It's not the majority of their sales. Yeah. You know, it's something that you can come out with your friend who might not be drinking that night and everyone have a good time. But as far as the business aspect for the bar, no, it's not a huge moneymaker for them.
You know, in the last couple minutes that we have, I want to talk about your book. I know you've already joined us about the book, but when I've been to local bookstores, you know, it has sold out. You know, I literally have seen multiple people come in asking about the book. So I am going to go out on a limb and say that it was a successful publishing.
It's been very successful, yes. My book is Sacramento Eats, Recipes from the Capital Region's Favorite Restaurants. It's a cookbook compiling 60 recipes from 60 beloved restaurants and bars, including some of the ones we talked about here. Bottle and Barlow comes to mind. And yeah, it's produced through Pediment Publishing. It sold out of all 3,000 copies that they printed within a month and change or so, but they're already on to a second printing. So there should be copies available at your local bookstore, Capital Books, Avid Reader in Davis, Ruby's Books in Folsom, things like that.
Yeah, it's one thing to have an idea, but to actually see it really just be a hit and people be incredibly receptive to it, how has that made you feel?
It's made me feel wonderful. I think the reaction has been fantastic. It has 5 stars online as far as reviews, and yeah, it's just really a great way, I think. My intention was to sort of promote the Sacramento dining scene and show everything that we have here. And I think that people have been really receptive to that. People love our local restaurants and bars, and people have been really happy with the book. So I'm really glad to see that.
Has there been some feedback that has kind of stuck with you, warmed your heart a little bit, that, you know, that was, you know, maybe particularly enriching?
The biggest thing is that people want a second edition, or they want, you know, a book about cocktails and mocktails or things like that. And, you know, asking for more is the highest compliment you can get, I think.
What's going to go into a second edition? I mean, the process of kind of canvassing the area and choosing what to put in the book.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out if that'll be the project for me next, I guess. But, you know, I would try and include some new places. As time goes on, we'll see new exciting places pop up on the scene. There's also, you know, I included one recipe from every restaurant, but these restaurants have terrific recipes and the chefs were really forthcoming with sharing them. So we could see some repeat restaurants just with a different dish in there. You know?
I would imagine now it's pretty easy for you to know when a new restaurant pops up or if there's a new menu maybe that a popular restaurant has come up with. But when you were first getting your start as a food and drink reporter here in Sacramento, I mean, how did you build those relationships and know where to go and what to check out and what to write about?
It took a long time, I'll be honest. You know, the Sacramento food and drink scene is really robust and there's a lot of movers and shakers. But I think the biggest thing for me was I tried to zig where others zagged, where I saw people write about sort of the bright lights in Midtown and downtown. I figured I would, you know, be interviewing those people and get access to those people. And so I would say, all right, well, let me check out Little Saigon. Let me check out Natomas. Let me check out Roosevelt, you know. And so I think I tried to build my base out with the folks who might have a harder time getting the spotlight otherwise. And I think that's really been a hallmark of my reporting in the 5 or 6 years that I've been on the beat.
Benji, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Benji Eagle is a food and drink reporter for the Sacramento Bee. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast, and you can also send us an email at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Lashinsky and managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer and audio engineer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.